our community connection on the way next. Brought to you this morning by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, Tallgrass Motors, and First Baptist Church. Bartlesville Schools on the way in just a moment.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
And we get an opportunity every month to talk things over with Superintendent of Schools Chuck McCauley. And Christmas vacation notwithstanding, thanks for coming in this morning.
You bet. We're just finishing up the first semester.
Yeah.
It's been fast and furious.
Finals, or at least semester exams if it's a year-long course, and moving right on through.
That's exactly right. We'll end up the semester on Tuesday.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then the students get to do as they please for the rest of the year.
That's right. And then we'll come back. School will be back in session starting on that Wednesday, January 3rd.
Fun. Mm-hmm. Headed out towards graduation time on or around Memorial Day weekend,
that's
weather
right.
notwithstanding.
That's right. We're going to have it. And it's not going to rain that Friday before Memorial Day, just so that you're aware of that.
I will write that down on the calendar. No rain on the Friday before Memorial
Day. That's right.
That's okay.
Right.
Sounds like a great deal. How's the semester gone so far?
Sure. We've had an outstanding semester. It's gone very well. And we just had our December school board meeting this week. Mm-hmm. And just a couple things we wanted to report on that.
Since I was celebrating my granddaughter's birthday on Monday, it'll all be news to me.
Well, very good. It was. We had a very good meeting. First of all, we started off, on our spotlight section, Martin Garber made a presentation about Bartlesville Education Promise. They've mm-hmm. done some great things for our kids. They're in their second year, and he gave an overall update on all the programs that they've added. And most of the programming is they're raising funds to pay our teachers to work extra with kids, whether it's after school tutoring or for a variety of summer programs. And so really, really pleased with what they've been able to accomplish for our kids. Really appreciate Martin Garber and Ginger Griffin specific, their leadership.
And they have picked up the project. I know it's not solely their idea, but as the public face of the project, why, they're the public leaders of that. Great, doing a great job.
That's right. And the Oklahoma Foundation for Excellence, through David Boren, that group recognized them at the statewide level earlier this semester, so we were able to celebrate that with them. So I was really pleased. I'm proud of that community support. Also mentioned in our school board filing, Scott Bilger and Kevin Sitton, both of their seats came up and they both ran unopposed, so there will not be an election, so we're pleased that those two will remain.
There will not be an election in Washington County. All of the candidates that filed for positions were unopposed. So.
Right. There you go. So wanted to mention that as well. And then in terms of our action items, we approved the district audit. Our auditor came in and gave a report on that. And also we had a change order for our the drive project over at Hoover and Madison. Mm-hmm. We had to do some additional, had to increase the scope of that work. So we completed that. And matter of fact, the last bond project that we have from the 2016 bond issue in terms of facility-wise, a large one, is finishing up right now at Custer Stadium in the locker room area. So our plan is for those kids to be utilizing those facilities in January.
Wonderful.
So we have a lot of things going on too. And then lastly, we had a item on our strategic plan, which is a comprehensive STEM program that encompasses all elementary, middle, and our high school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, another reason why I brought along, I have someone with me today.
Yes, you do.
Is it okay if I go ahead and introduce Blair, Charlie?
You please do.
Okay, so I have with me with the Bartlesville Public School Foundation, this is Blair Ellis.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, and Blair is the executive director of the Public School Foundation. And
Blair, there's a switch on that microphone. It looked like Kevin switched it to off when he used it. There we go. Now we can hear
you. I'm ready.
Okay.
And Blair has been, for the first time, the foundation has a full-time staff, and it's Blair. She's been with it. She started in May and is doing some great things. Our foundation is really, you know, I mentioned Bartlesville Education Promise and our Public School Foundation. They have taken on the task of helping us expand our STEM program to our elementary schools. Last year, they went through the process and were able to raise funds of $85,000. They donated to the school so that we could get that computer science module in place this year. And this year, they have an exciting expansion of that so that we can continue to expand. Their fundraising have a goal of $100,000 for this year so that we can continue that for next year. So I'll open it up to Blair.
Well, thank you so much for that great introduction. Blair, I had to make sure that I had my facts straight before we talked. The foundation's been around since the mid-80s.
That's right.
The mission has grown over the years. I don't remember. I wasn't around in the mid-80s. But it, you know, started off as classroom grants, a couple hundred dollars here, a couple hundred dollars there for supplies. Or something special going on there. And then as the need arose, you picked up more.
Correct. So yeah, our mission has always been fairly the same. We're committed to advancing quality education in the Bartlesville Public Schools. So that gives us kind of a broad range of what we want to do. We've always done grants to teachers. We have four different grants to teachers that we're offering this year, and that program has expanded, and the budgets for those have expanded as the need has developed. We offer grants for classroom supplies and programs. We offer grants for professional development opportunities, and then bringing experts into the classrooms to work with students. And then new this year, we partnered with the Northern Oklahoma American Chemical Society. Mm-hmm. And now we offer science grants, which are like classroom grants, but focused on science. And then, as Chuck mentioned, last year we began supporting the Elementary STEM Initiative. So we did that last year, and then we're doing it again this year.
Yeah, and I have no doubt, having lived with a teacher for a long time, those extra programs, the enrichment items, are always so important. Sure. That they will be different every year depending on the either personnel or resources that are available.
Right.
But whatever's going on, it's special to those kids.
That's right. And we feel it's a way to kind of empower our teachers. They feel like they have some ownership over what's going on in their classroom and get that funding that they've applied for. And then it engages our students. These are programs that the teachers have identified to be exciting and interesting for the students.
Well, so. And I think it's important to the district that what the students learn in, I don't care, seventh grade science is the same whether they're going to school A or school B.
Sure.
But every teacher likes their classroom to be special.
That's right. Individual projects and programs, things like that. Yep.
And so you really fill a vital need for those teachers.
Thank you. We enjoy doing it, and we couldn't do it without the support of our community. Obviously, they've been kind of a constant since the mid-80s funding us. And then with this STEM development, this is requiring us to do a lot more active fundraising. But again, we've seen the support coming from our community, whether it's companies. Trudy Education Foundation has been a really huge partner for us. Bank First was a large contributor, Bartlesville Association of Realtors, and then Trudy Credit Union. So we appreciate that, and then our individual donors have stepped up for the STEM. So we're of our $100,000 goal, we're at about a little over 47,000 at this point, just based on those corporate partnerships and a fundraiser that we held in October.
Fundraising is different year to year. It's different every year you do it. I don't care what foundation, what nonprofit you are, but are the majority of the dollars you receive individual donations, or are they donations generally from a business or a foundation?
Right. I would say because of the large number that we're aiming for STEM, the majority of the amount so far has come from corporations. But again, our individual donors are so important, and they really pick up the excess. And then again, for our grants program, we have a fundraiser in April 5th this year, a Hall of Fame breakfast, where we induct former educators into the Hall of Fame. And in that case, it's mostly individual donors.
And sometimes individual donors, well, any donor, but I think individuals like to steer their dollars to a particular type
absolutely.
Of project.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. If a donor comes to us and says, we want to support a specific program, we can do that. We just had a donor actually come. It's a former Bartlesville High School alumni who now lives in St. Louis, and he has come and offered to support our child nutrition program because they have a negative student balance. And so we've actually decided to pass so his funds directly to that program because that's what he requested. So we can absolutely accommodate individual requests.
And as long as we're talking about individuals, or for that matter, if some large corporate decision maker is listening, how do they get funds to the foundation?
Sure. The easiest way, as far as radio goes, is just to look at our website, bpsfoundation.org. And my contact information is on there, my phone number, and you can give me a call or donate directly through the website.
And I have no doubt that should someone ask, you are available to make a presentation on the foundation, what you've done and what you'd like to
absolutely,
do.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Fundraising goals, before I change topic just a little bit, let's say you pick the number of years out, 3, 5, 7, 10, 50, where would you like to see the foundation that you're not today?
Well, one thing that's changed, again, because I've come in as an executive director, is that we're having to fund my salary. And so it would be nice to have our endowment large enough that we can support those operating expenses and not have to actively fundraise for those. We do have about $1 million endowment, a little over $1 million in our endowment right now. So that contributes a lot to our operating expenses, but we could always use more in our endowment to be able to fund operating expenses. And then we'd like to just expand our grants to educators program, because again, the need is always there for professional development and classroom supplies, and so we'd like to expand that too. And then again, continue to fund the STEM initiative.
Well, I think any nonprofit, you have your mission that you're fundraising for, but since you're a staff of one, it may or may not apply, but most nonprofits also need to raise funds for training of the staff.
Right.
And so there's opportunities, I'm sure, that you as a foundation leader can see what's going on in your field in similar
Absolutely.
Communities across the country, that right now the dollars are not there.
That's right. That's right. And we have a really great network of education foundations. They meet every fall at a fall forum with the Oklahoma Foundation for Excellence. Bartlesville Education Promise was actually honored at that as an outstanding program. But that's a really great opportunity for executive directors for local education foundations to meet and kind of collaborate on different ideas. So.
Okay, we will continue with our community connection, talking Bartlesville schools and the organizations and individuals that support them in just a moment.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
And continuing a community connection, again, focusing on Bartlesville schools and, in this particular case, the foundation as well, because it's the people that support what goes on in and around the classroom besides your tax dollars. And as we look at the foundation, we've been talking about STEM programs. And, you know, I think science, engineering, mathematics have always been an emphasis. I can remember going to school in the 50s and 60s with the space race and everything, and I know studying, of course, computers were brand new, and you know, we did all our math programs in base 16 and all that stuff. But it is now continues to be so important for these students.
That's right. That's right. And you know, the high school, thanks to the Phillips 66 Innovation Labs, and the middle schools also have a really great STEM curriculum. It's the Project Lead the Way STEM curriculum already established in the high schools and middle schools. And so what this elementary STEM initiative that we are supporting does is kind of broadens that pathway. So it's exposing kindergartners all the way through fifth graders to that same curriculum that they're going to eventually get in middle school and high school. I've been into the classrooms to see what they're doing, and it's really amazing. Our third and fourth graders are learning to code. So they are outside coding, kind of programming their teachers to do certain tasks, and then they come into the classroom and work on their iPads, their tablets to program different characters that they've created. So it's really impressive what our students are doing at this point in time with technology.
And so just for the listening audience, comparing that to, let's say, the third and fourth grade football team is learning the same program that the high school team is playing. If I carry that analogy through in science, you're picking up the early steps of what they will be doing in high school.
Sure. So I think the idea is that then when they get into fifth grade and they go into sixth grade, they're already exposed to those STEM curriculum. They're already excited about it. You know, elementary school is where kids develop their curiosity, boys and girls, and that's where they develop their passions. And I think by exposing them to that at an early age, then they're ready. Their teachers are already saying that how much easier they think it's going to be next year, because this is the first year we've implemented it. So the teachers are learning and the students are learning. Some of them don't know how to swipe on an iPad, but then when they go into next year, they'll be much more prepared to kind of hit the ground running on those programs.
Sounds like a great deal. Chuck, that's got to pay off dividends for you and all down the road.
It's wonderful. It's truly hands-on learning. You know, it builds right into our middle school program that we've expanded. Matter of fact, Granger mentioned at the board meeting Monday is his presentation. You know, we have an emphasis at our middle school level, too, specifically about trying to get more girls involved in the STEM field, sparking their interest. But research will show you now there's more girls graduating from universities, females than males. However, in several STEM fields, there's still a lot of them are dominated by the males. There's more males going into it, so we're really trying to spark that interest. They have some great clubs that, matter of fact, when we've increased our staffing at the middle school level, we have a couple of great Shannon McKinney, Lolly Williams, Rachel Huff, and Darren Meserly are all teaching those classes too, and they're student organizations that are tied to those classes. Mm-hmm. We have, matter of fact, Granger had a picture up at the board meeting Monday that showed a lot of girls' faces, which was good to see. So it's really exciting. We have the three levels of computer science at the high school. Granger also mentioned that we're applying to offer cybersecurity next year. Mm-hmm. We're hopefully be in line that we'll be able to offer that fourth level of computer science at the high school. And we really think by sparking that interest at the elementary level, it'll continue to grow.
Good. By the way, congratulations to the Lady Bruins for a great record, too. That's a Community Connection on 1400 K1.
The State Board of Health has voted to fire Internal Auditor Jay Holland as Director of the Office of Accountability.